your word this morning. We ask that you would quiet our hearts and steady our mind. Bless the preaching of your word now. Use it to shape us, challenge us, and draw us closer to you. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Doak. Good morning, church. So over VBS, our theme was the call of God. And I guess before we do that, if you would like to take your babies into nursery on our other building, you are more than welcome. Right now, Miss Debbie is walking to the back for children who are under three to go with her. And then we are going to have our students with us this morning, joining with us. And that will be good because I was told on like Thursday or Friday that I'm only supposed to talk for 20 minutes. And so that's not the response we wanted right there. And so we'll see if I'm able to keep to the 20 minutes. And so we are in John 3. And what we are seeing is we are going to see how God is calling Nicodemus to himself. And we taught this on Wednesday night for our children during VBS. And we spoke about God calling his people to himself. And so we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" And so we're introduced to Nicodemus, and he is a Pharisee, and more so, he is a ruler of the Jews. And so what this would have meant is he is most likely one of 71 elders who would serve on in the Sanhedrin. And so he was very knowledgeable. He would have been older in age, and he was somebody who would also be teaching other people. And so Nicodemus is somebody who is supposed to be very intelligent, somebody who people looked up to, because he is serving in the Sanhedrin. And so he goes on, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him. And so we get this idea of Nicodemus coming by night. And people, they've looked at this, why would Nicodemus come by night? And some have said, well, clearly he's just afraid. He doesn't want people to think he's associated with Jesus because the Pharisees don't like Jesus. And so he goes by night so that nobody would know. Other people, they'll say, no, he's going by night because Pharisees and Sadducees, they would spend the whole entire day arguing with one another, the same way that KJ and I argue with one another about the end times and all of that, and we just talk around circles. But instead, what we see is he comes by night, and we don't know exactly why. But we do know that in John's gospel, there is this theme of light and darkness. And so what I want us to see with Nicodemus, the point on why Nicodemus is coming by night is it's to show us where he is spiritually. You see, he's a Pharisee. He's serving in the Sanhedrin. So we would want to think that Nicodemus is this man of God. He's saved. He is somebody who is in relationship with God. But what we see by him coming by night is a spiritual situation. He is dead. He is in darkness. And so he comes by night and he refers to Jesus saying, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And so this far into John, as we've been going through John, we know that Jesus, he's only performed one sign, and that was turning the water into wine. And then here, what we see with Nicodemus is the signs, plural, that you do unless God is with him. And so there are other signs that Jesus has performed for people to know that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who God sent to save us and deliver us from our sins. But we don't know what those other signs are. We do know that John does tell us at the end of his gospel that if he were to write all the signs, that there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain all the signs that Jesus had performed. And so he acknowledges that Jesus, the way he's able to do these miracles, is strictly because he is sent from God. And this is interesting because, as we know with the situation of the Pharisees, if we look to other accounts of the gospel, Matthew chapter 12, for instance, verse 24, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man cast out demons.'" And so we see later on in Jesus's ministry that Jesus, he's casting out demons, and instead of saying, "This man comes from God," they're saying, "No, he comes from the prince of demons. And so then Jesus has to respond, would Satan cast out Satan? And so he's showing that Jesus is from God. And so Nicodemus, this Pharisee, he understands that Jesus has been sent by God. But then Jesus, he replies to him saying, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. I mean, we use this terminology a lot as Christians, as I'm a born again Christian. But it's an interesting term. And if we look at our Bibles, there's usually a footnote next to words that can be understood differently. And one of these words for again, it's anthero. And the way that this would have been understood was born from above. And so God would have to act in order for somebody to be saved. And so Jesus is getting at, in order to be born, or unless one is born, they will not see the kingdom of God. And so he's setting the situation on, there has to be something done in order for somebody to be saved. And so we go on to verse 4, and we're going to see Nicodemus begin to be called by God. And we see this because Nicodemus, he said to him, said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so I made a reference to Nicodemus. He's one of 71 elders in Israel that serve in the Sanhedrin. This means this dude is extremely intelligent. And so whenever he's asking Jesus, saying, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's not trying to be tongue-in-cheek and try and impress Jesus, but instead what he's getting, he's questioning. Like, what does this mean to be born? You see, for Pharisees, especially during this time in Jesus' ministry, and for the Pharisees like Nicodemus, the way that they thought that they were saved was they were descendants of Abraham. And so because they are descendants of Abraham, they are going to experience eternal life. And so whenever Jesus says, unless one is born again or born from above, they will not see the kingdom of God. This is like, what are you talking about? I'm supposed to be saved. I'm going to see the kingdom of God because I'm a descendant from Abraham. I am a Jew. I am somebody who has worked my way to the top to serving in the Sanhedrin. Of course I am saved. But Jesus is not worried about the works that man is doing. He is more concerned about the heart of man. And so whenever Nicodemus is saying, how can man be born again? He's not trying to say, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about, but he's asking questions. You see, this is the way that God is calling Nicodemus to himself. And I'll show you how Nicodemus is being called because it starts right here in John chapter 3. But then we're going to see in John chapter 7 in verse 50, it says, Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. And so what's happening here is the Pharisees, they're wanting to charge Jesus. They're wanting to hold Jesus in contempt for blasphemy and have him crucified. And Nicodemus, he's going back to their law saying, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? And so in chapter 7, we see Nicodemus, he starts to defend Jesus in a room full of people who want to kill Jesus. And then towards the end of John's gospel in chapter 19, verse 39, it says, Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as it is burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they took Jesus there. And so we see when Jesus is crucified, how does Nicodemus respond? by honoring and by respecting our Lord. And so this is now not Nicodemus trying to go to Jesus by night, but in order to understand Jewish custom, the reason that Jesus had to be killed on the cross before the Sabbath was it was according to their law. But not only did Jesus have to be killed and die from being crucified before the Sabbath began, he also had to be buried. And the Sabbath would have began that Saturday night. And so this means most likely Nicodemus, in the middle of the afternoon, is helping prepare Jesus' body to put him into the tomb so that he would be in a burial and that it would match the law that they are supposed to be holding to. And so now we no longer see Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, but we see he is honoring and respecting our Lord in the middle of the afternoon. This picture that John is painting of he was once in the dark, he's coming by night, he is now in the light. He is now following after Jesus. And this starts by Nicodemus asking questions. And I resonate with this myself because as I was coming to know who Christ was, I was coming to know who God was, I had a ton of questions. I mean, if you want to hear how questionable of a person I was, not questionable of a person, but how many questions I would ask, you can ask my mom, because I would just ask why to literally every single question. And now I'm getting that same treatment from Asher, which, sorry, mom. But I always ask questions, and so when it came to theology, when it came to God, I naturally just asked a ton of questions, and I was very blessed that the people in the church that we were at, they answered those questions. They took their time to answer those questions, and so just like Nicodemus, he's confused. I mean, Jesus told him something literally, and he took it as literal as possible, as you have to be born again. And so he's asking Jesus, how can this be? Like, surely a person cannot, whenever he's old, go back into his mother's womb and be born. And so Jesus, he doesn't just let Nicodemus question, but he answers this question by saying, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, now he understands he's talking to Nicodemus. And what he spoke literally to Nicodemus does ring true, but Nicodemus did not understand it in which the way Jesus intended for him to understand it. And so now Jesus is making sure that Nicodemus is going to understand this. It's been debated a lot by what does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit. A lot of people have said, well, the water, we have to look at the timing of what's going on in this gospel. And right now, John the Baptist, he's baptizing. And the way that John the Baptist was baptizing was a baptism of repentance. And so this means a person, they must repent, and then they can be born of the Spirit. But this isn't the way that God works. This isn't, then they cannot be saved by the Spirit. But instead, that would mean we have to repent in order to be saved, as to where we come to faith, and then because of that faith, we repent. And so then other people, they're like, well, no, it's not the baptism of repentance, but rather it's just being baptized. I mean, John's, it's one of the latest gospels, therefore the Christians were certainly aware of baptism, and so whenever it talks about water, this means you have to be baptized, and then you also have to be saved by the Spirit. But then we're adding ways to be saved instead of keeping it at faith alone and Christ alone for our salvation alone. And so we need to realize that that's not what's getting at. And so we have to realize that Jesus, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is incredibly smart. He's a Pharisee. He would have known his Old Testament. And so, or what he would have just had as the Septuagint, what we refer to as the Old Testament. And so when we look at this, what does it mean to be born of water and of Spirit? I want us to look to Ezekiel 36, and it says in verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I will vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. And then this is where we get the idea of water. He goes on to say, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, or and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And so when we look at what does it mean to be born of water and of spirit, we can look to Ezekiel chapter 36 and see what does it mean to be cleansed or to be saved by water. And it's to be cleansed by God. God is going to do this act. He's going to cleanse us of our sin. And he does this because when we look to the cross and we look to what Jesus did by dying on the cross, we see that he took our sin away from us so that we can be cleansed. And so he cleanses us through the water, but then it is the Spirit who works in our lives that he goes and he removes that heart of stone, that heart that is so inclined to sin, and he removes it so that he can give you a heart of flesh, one that causes you to walk according to his statutes and causes you to walk in obedience to him. And so when we see Jesus saying, truly, truly, no one can come into the kingdom, he's saying, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. And so when he's saying this to Nicodemus, he's saying, you need to be cleansed. You need to be made new. You need a new heart. It's not according to your works that save you. It's not because you are a Pharisee. It's not because you are part of the Sanhedrin or a descendant of Abraham, but rather it is because of the work of God that a person is saved. And so why is it that God must call people to himself? We talked about this call of God. We see God is calling Nicodemus to himself right now, but there is a reason that we must be called to God. And this is what Paul is getting at in the early part of his letter to the Romans. And in chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, it says, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. It is absolutely crucial that God calls people to himself, because without that call in our lives, what we see in Romans is no one even seeks after God. Our sin, we have to realize how depraved we are, how much our sinful nature draws us to our sin. Our sinful nature, we fall in love with our sin so much so that that is what we are inclined to. We do not want God, and so we don't even seek after him. And so God, being loving and rich in mercy, he does not let us stay in that state. He does not look at us as sinners and say, well, I'm done with creation, which he could have very well done and still be seen as just. But instead, Paul continues to say in Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And so God realizes that because of our sin, we will never seek after him, and that makes us enemies to him. But he doesn't let us stay in that state. Instead, what he does is he reconciles us back to himself through the death and resurrection of his son. Whenever he dies on the cross, taking our sin so that we could be forgiven, so that we can be cleansed by that water, and that we can be given this heart of flesh so that we can start living in obedience to our Lord. And so God does this due to his love, due to his mercy. It is something that we need to rejoice in, that he does not leave us in our sin, but instead he looks to us and he draws us to him. And he does this in multiple ways. As we looked at the call of God and we talked at VBS, it's not just through people asking questions like Nicodemus, but there's other ways that God draws people to himself. I mean, the first of which is through his word. Faith comes from hearing, hearing the word of God. And so the first way we know that God draws people to himself is through his word. Another way that we know God draws people to himself is through others, people in our lives. I mean, we as parents, hopefully we are evangelizing to our children, that we are teaching them about who God is and that we are raising them in the way that they will honor God one day. I mean, that is what we are to do. Even those who are close to our friends, those who we work with, these are other ways that God reveals himself to people. Another way is through our sin. He lets us feel the weight of our sin so much so that we become sick of ourselves. We feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel conviction to where we will turn our lives in submission to our Lord and that we will follow after him. And so God uses multiple ways to call us, but we see here for Nicodemus Nicodemus is asking the questions. He's wondering, okay, how can this be is what we are going to see. And so God is calling people to himself. And we see that as God is calling people to himself, in verse 7 and 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so he's comparing the Spirit to wind. With wind, we cannot control wind. And so the same way we cannot control the Spirit, we have no idea who's going to be saved and who God is going to call to himself, but we do know that we need to trust in his sovereignty and that we need to trust in his love. And so we cannot control who God's going to save, but we can be in prayer for God to save his people. Another thing that we see is that while we can't control, we also don't know where it's going to go. And so we need to be faithful to the Great Commission, to where we are making sure that we are evangelizing to those people in our lives that we know have not embraced Christ, because we want the Spirit to work in their lives. We need to rely that it's not our words that are saving them, but that it is going to be the Spirit. You see, we plant seeds, we water, but we do not cause the growth. The growth belongs to the Spirit. And so we need to trust in God for that, that he's going to cause the growth. He's going to bring people to salvation. And then as we look at this last section, verses 9 through 15, Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So Nicodemus, his next question is, how can this be? Not how can this happen. He understands what Jesus is saying. He understands how somebody can become born from above. But his question, how can this be? I'm a Pharisee. I have been studying scripture my whole entire life. And this whole time, I did not even realize that it was the work of the Spirit that saved people. I did not realize that it was about having a new heart, a heart of flesh that saved people. And so he's confused. How can this be? And then Jesus, he gives them a small rebuke by saying, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things?" Like, you of all people, Nicodemus, you should understand this, yet you don't. And so he's explaining it to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is getting his answers questioned, or his questions answered. And then we finish in verse 14 and 15. And we see what this ultimately points to. And he looks back to Numbers and he references Moses. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In the next verse, we all pretty much know, John 3:16, that all who believe in him will have eternal life. And so we see that something must happen. You see, in the story with the serpent, it was a bronze serpent. What would happen is the Israelites at that time, they were being plagued. They were extremely ill. They were all dying. And so God gives Moses this bronze serpent, and Moses is to lift it up. And if the people were to look at the serpent, they would be healed. And so it was this picture that points us ultimately to Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Just as Moses lifted up that serpent, you need to look to the Son of Man. The name that Jesus loves to refer to himself is the Son of Man. And he must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so this all points us to Christ. You see, in order to be saved, we need the Spirit to work in our lives. We need to be cleansed. But this is ultimately only done through Christ. And it's through believing in him. And as we've talked about throughout this Gospel of John, this word pistuo, it's entrusting our lives to Christ, that he lived a perfect, sinless life so that we can look to him in faith, knowing that he took our sin from us so that we can be reconciled to the Father, so that we can be in relationship to the Father and be forgiven of our sins. And whenever we do that, what we receive is eternal life. And so At this time, I will go ahead and pray, and our worship team is going to come back up and lead us in a couple more songs. Our elders will be at the front. If you need prayer, please come and ask us for prayer. We'd love to pray with you. If you want to know more about what it means to embrace Christ or know who he is or the need for his death and resurrection on the cross and our forgiveness of sins, please come talk with the elders. We'd love to meet with you about that. But at this time, I'll go ahead and pray, and we will continue in our worship of our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this past week where we were able to just disciple our children, make them know your word, help them to understand your word, Lord. And I pray that the relationships that were made, that they would grow in fellowship, grow in their friendships that were made, and that you would continue to use us to pour into their lives, that they would ultimately come to know you and embrace your Son as their Savior, Lord. I pray at this time that you would just help us to stay focused on worshiping you and that we would be able to look to you with grateful hearts that you have called us to your Son. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.